We are 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. State volleyball tournaments continued yesterday, semifinals last night, and the championship matches are set. In AA, top seed Harrisburg will play number 3 seed O'Gorman for the championship. In Class A, it's top seed Dakota Valley, 2 seed Del Rapids. And in Class B, it's 1 seed Chester and number 3 seed Warner. In AA, Harrisburg took care of Watertown in straight sets, 25-18, 12-11. O'Gorman battled Brandon Valley through 5 sets before picking up the win, 19-25, 25-21, 25-14, 22-25, 15-13. In Class A, Dakota Valley swept Hamlin 25-20, 17-9. Del Rapids defeated Sioux Falls Christian in 4, 25-14, 24-26, 25-22, 25-19. Class B, Chester swept Bennett County 25-18, 15-16. Warner, the 3 seed, defeated number 2 Northwestern in 5 sets, 25-16, 18-25, 25-17, 25-27, 15-13. Consolation bracket matches yesterday. AA, 4 seed Lincoln defeated number 8 Mitchell in 5, 26-24, 23-25, 25-18, 20-25, 15-9. And Sioux Falls, Washington swept Jefferson, number 7 Washington, winning 25-20, 18-18. In Class A, 4 seed Clarkville Lake swept number 8 seed Wagner, 25-23, 28-26, 25-16. 6 seed St. Thomas More defeated number 7 Rapid City Christian in 4, 19-25 and 25-18, 18-21. And in Class B, Parkston, the 4 seed, defeated number 8 Harriet Selby, straight sets 25-22, 13-21. And Gayville Vaughan, the 7 seed, defeated number 6 seed Harding County in 4, 25-11, 16-25, 25-14, 25-14. So here's the matchups for the final day of volleyball this year in South Dakota. In AA, the championship, Harrisburg O'Gorman. Third place, Watertown Brandon Valley. Fifth place, Lincoln Washington. Seventh place, Mitchell and Sioux Falls Jefferson. Class A, the championship, Dakota Valley Del Rapids. Third place, Hamlin Sioux Falls Christian. Fifth place, Clark Willow Lake St. Thomas More. Seventh place, Wagner and Rapid City Christian. And in Class B, the championship, Chester Warner. Third place, Bennett County Northwestern. Fifth place, Parkston and Gayville Vaughan. Seventh place, Harriet Selby and Harding County. All those matches out in Rapid City. Boys hockey yesterday. It was the season opener for the Huron All-Stars down in Yankton. Yankton picked up a 10-1 win for Huron. Jace Bales had the goal unassisted. Some college basketball yesterday. Women's scores, Northern edge Black Hills 56-54. Sioux Falls defeated School of Mines 84-59. South Dakota rolled to an 85-44 win over Valparaiso. Men's scores, Northern Michigan 80, Northern State 61, South Dakota State 105, Georgia State 58. And that's the rundown of our scores from yesterday. Couple of announcements to pass along. Huron Area Volleyball Club will be holding tryouts for the 2026 JO season tomorrow at the Huron High School Gym. Local players must pre-register before tryouts. The QR link for registration is on their tryout flyer. You can find that on the Huron Area Volleyball Club Facebook page. It's a $10 fee, which is due at the time of the tryouts. Everything's at the Huron High School Gym. Tomorrow, ages 10 to 12, 1 o'clock. Ages 13 to 14, 2 o'clock. Before that, a parents meeting at noon. Then high school ages 15 to 18, tryout 4 to 5 for high schoolers. Parent meeting before that at 3 o'clock. Huron Youth Wrestling sign-up night is Monday at the National Guard Armory, 5 till 6:30. The sign-up form is posted on the Huron Youth Wrestling Club Facebook page. Please have the form filled out when you come in for sign-up night, along with a current up-to-date AAU card. Singlets will also be checked out. Cash, check, or Venmo will be accepted for the $75 registration. It's cash or check only for the singlet deposit, which is also $75. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we wrap up a Huron Tiger volleyball season with head coach Josh Lane. We will highlight all the all-state football selections from the area, including Huron getting six on the 11AA all-state team. And we'll wrap it up talking a little rodeo. Jazz McGurr, Mason Moody are back with their third annual rodeo event a week from tonight at the Dex. And we'll hear how that has come together in its third year. Very short time, but already a very popular event. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. First up, we talk Huron Tiger volleyball, wrap-up of the season with head coach Josh Lean. The Tigers fell just over a week ago in the Sodak 16 to Watertown, played two very competitive sets before Watertown took control in the third and advanced on to the state tournament, ending Huron's season at 9-14. And coach, just maybe a random thought or two from that. You felt the first two sets, the girls did everything they needed to do, just couldn't push the envelope, especially in that second set. Give Watertown credit, they took control in the third.
Yeah, so the wind came out of our sails. I think you and I had talked post-game. You know, when you've got a 24-22 lead in set two, feeling like, you know, you're 1 point, one Watertown error, one kill away from wrapping up set two and going into set three tied 1-1, you're feeling like you're in a pretty good spot. And then Watertown, I think they were serving at that time. They had a let serve. You know, they hit the top of the net. It trickles over into, you know, territory that wasn't guarded. Kind of a ball that teams can't prepare. I mean, luck was on their side, right? And so regardless of me, you know, clearing out my timeouts at that point, trying to put us in a different situation to be successful, we just really couldn't close set two out like we were hoping to. And obviously the wind was out of our sails. We would have liked to have been competitive in set three. Really just didn't have it in us. But we played the scouting report perfectly in the first two sets. And I think, you know, the point differential was very small. We were right there. So, you know, knowing you're competitive and you put your best volleyball on the court, at least for those first two sets, is okay. That feels like we did everything we could. Do we wish we were still playing? Obviously. Preparing for a state tournament, absolutely. But girls did a nice job down the stretch putting together some competitive volleyball against competitive teams.
And as always, this final go-around here, we highlight the seniors. You had a senior class of five this year. All five played key roles on your varsity team. We'll just run down each one by one. Going to go in numerical order on the roster. So we'll start off with Jensie Gergen, a two-year starter at setter.
Yeah, 2-year starter at setter, finishes 10th all time on career assists in Huron High School. Went over 1,000 career assists. She served beautifully for us too this year. Serve percentage puts her on the top 10 list. Aces in a game, 7th all time versus Jefferson, which is, you know, she had 8 aces against Jefferson, which helped us win that game, which, you know, unfortunately, you know, Jefferson's playing in the state tournament this week. Jensie played a big role in us winning that, and many matches, by the way. So I really, you know, as we go through numerically, she's kind of the one I like to end my thinking with, which is okay that we start with her because, you know, her and I had, I think, the relationship coaches and setters hope to have, right? You kind of like coaches and quarterbacks. You've got to know what each other's thinking. You've got to be able to, you know, really understand the scouting report at the same level, know what's going to give us the best chance to win. And I thought from Jensie's junior to her senior campaign, she grew, you know, tenfold, both in her mental game and her physical game. She put the reps in to hit the target. Her and Coach Ulmer, Tyann, really put some time in the gym, specifically working on Jensie's hands. And then, you know, a lot of conversation and a lot of film study to make sure we were ready for our opponents from that position as well. So a lot of things that don't get looked at from the spectator point of view, but Jensie's going to be hard to replace. Her quiet leadership, her calm demeanor, her selflessness. When we lose a volleyball match, Jensie won't blame anybody else. It is on her, in her mind. And so it's hard to find kids who take that level of ownership. And So I appreciate her efforts. She'll be hard to replace moving forward. But her name's, you know, splattered all over our top 10 lists, and we look forward to watching her play next year at Mount Marty.
The next on the list is Chloe Carr, again, a 2-year starter. And, you know, at 6 foot, we haven't been able to come by 6-footers often. And here on Tiger Volleyball in recent history, actually had 2 this year with Jaylee Olson as well. But Chloe, same thing. You know, when our office was clicking, we were setting her up. She was very effective.
Yeah, we worked really hard. You know, Chloe, kind of a natural basketball player. We worked really hard on getting Chloe, you know, on that slide, that 1-foot route off the back antenna, where it was more of a footwork that resembles a layup, and she was really, really effective on those balls. And so she led the team in hitting percentage, which, you know, in volleyball, kind of like a batting percentage, you know, a hitting stat, if you will. But the difference in volleyball is you take your points minus your errors, and then you divide by the total. So a 300 batting average is probably similar to a 153, I say that number because that's what Chloe hit, 153 hitting percentage in volleyball. And so when we were effectively able to get her the ball, she was in the air. She gained more and more confidence and continued to swing hard, continued to be available for us, and led the team in hitting percentage. And to the end of the season, she worked her butt off in blocking, too. She knew that her lateral movement left and right was something that she wanted to continue to get better at, and she got better right down to the very end. And so appreciate Chloe's work kind of being, you know, our spark plug offensively when we needed her to, when we were passing well, and her taking ownership in being our first line of defense with the block as well.
And then I am glad we had those two grouped together because it kind of gets lofted in the shuffle. We even mentioned it once. We just kind of forgot about it. But both Jensie Gergen, Chloe Carr, basically missed a full volleyball season when they were younger. Jensie, her freshman year, Chloe, her sophomore year, due to injury. And those are valuable years for development. And needless to say, both girls bounced back well.
Yeah, and credit to you can't replace Miss time. We know that as coaches, we know that as parents. You know, you can't miss, it's hard to replace that time. But what we did do is, you know, those kids got in the, you know, they got on the court during the off season, the club season, They were able to get some extra reps in during the Huron Area Volleyball Club season, and then as we continued to develop our strength and conditioning, our speed and agility, in cooperation with the girls track and field coach, the girls basketball coach, we were all sitting in the same room, the high school PE strength and conditioning coach, we're all sitting in the same room continuing to try to find ways to get girls stronger and faster and jump higher and build them so that maybe we do reduce some injury opportunities and we skip those years that we've got to take off. But these two particular athletes did indeed have to endure that that year off, and they got to sit on the sideline and watch their teammates, improve. And so I do think you're exactly right, Jeff. They took absolute advantage of the opportunities they were given when they came off of those injuries and grew up to be really positive contributors to our varsity.
The next on the list, Hilton Hines, all-conference player this year, and libero, and I guess, the last 3 years or however long it's been, he just put her back there in that different color jersey, and she just went to work.
Yeah, we put her in the line of fire, and she would expect nothing less, right? We would plant her wherever the other team's best hitters were going to hit the ball, and regardless of whether we thought we could block it or not, whatever our intentions were defensively, you knew that Hilton was going to stand right where the other team's best shots were going to come from. And so we've been doing that for a long time with Hilt. She just quietly stands there and literally takes it, right? She works her tail off to get her platform underneath that ball and give us extra chances offensively. So, the stats are great. They're awesome. She's tied school records for games or digs in a game. I think her junior year against Rapid City Stevens out west, she had 49 digs. We watched the film like six times to see if we could find a 50th dig in there somewhere and just couldn't come up with it so she could have that record by herself. But she tied that record. She had several other matches throughout her career where she was over 40, which is impressive, which puts her second all time. I don't like to say unbreakable records, but Haven, her big sister, has career digs in Huron High School over 3,000, and Hilton is the second on that list at almost 1,600. So, having those two Hines girls right there at the top of that digs list is pretty special. And Hilton says, I imagine that Hilton would be okay finishing second to her big sister if she has to finish second at all. So pretty proud of her for that. Sixth all time, her junior year in digs in a season. She's just a special kid and serves well as well. Her name's sitting on the All-State ballot right now. Those results haven't been announced yet, but that's where we're sitting with her. And little fact that is somewhat interesting. I've been coaching long enough to know that there hasn't always been a libero in the state of South Dakota, and I remember a really long time ago when we started trying to figure out how to best use that position in South Dakota. I had a young player a long time ago say, "Man, coach, it just feels really weird not wearing the same jersey as everybody else." And I committed that day, and it held true all the way to our Watertown SODAC match with Hilton in that position, where the night before games, the libero would send me a message and tell me what color jersey she was wearing, and then I would coach in the same color so that she didn't have to be alone, right? Which seems weird now because it's not really that big of a deal, but when this thing started, the tradition started. And so Hilton, for the last 3 years, has been texting me on game day, letting me know what color a coaching shirt I should wear. So that I matched her. And I thought a pretty special relationship also there as well, just like the setter with the libero and the coach. So Hilton's numbers are awesome. She's a good kid. She's a quiet leader. Every time our team hears, "All right, let's go," a quiet little reminder that we could be better. That comes right out of Hilton, and she really pushes her team to be the best they can be. So we appreciate her efforts.
Again, talking with Josh Lane, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, highlighting our senior class, fourth one on the list. Kyla Pesky was in the rotation at the beginning when we were running the 6-2. When we went back to the 5-1, you know, she still had her spots. But with her, you know, she's a senior. She had waited a long time for her term. And whenever she was called upon, she was always ready.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, the thing I think about Kyla is even when she wasn't in our everyday rotation, which, listen, that's hard to do as a senior, right? When she was behind Aurora Dreyer her junior year when we ran one-setter offense, she at times was in the rotation and not, but she came to work every day at practice. She would play against our varsity. We would ask her to highlight the other team's better players and hit the shots that they were going to hit, and she was right there getting all the reps that everybody else was. And oh, by the way, and I don't know if the listeners know Kyla incredibly well, but she is a constant reminder that we do spend our time playing a game. She has a lot of fun. She's always got a smile on her face. She's always trying to make sure her teammates are in a positive space, in a good mood. And so we take this game very seriously. And Kyla was one to remind us every once in a while just to take a deep breath and enjoy the ride. So Kyla, scout player, big time, was ready when we needed her to be, and a constant reminder that this game is fun. And we wouldn't have been in as good a place this year if it wasn't for Kyla.
Then our final senior, Allie Davis, another three-year starter. We've talked about it quite a bit in my eyes. I don't know if there's a stronger girl in South Dakota high school volleyball this year. And the one comment about her that stuck with me, you said it about a month ago, when Allie is attacking at the net, she's better if there's a blocker in front of her instead of a wide-open shot, because the wide-open shot, she ended up blasting it through the back wall. She wanted the challenge of the blocker there.
Yeah, she really has grown up to learn how to use that block, right? And if I back up, first of all, back up and talk about her work ethic in the weight room. She lifts with intention. I mean, she puts the weight on. She tries to get stronger every day. There is no going through the motions in the weight room with a lot of our kids, and a lot of that is modeled by Allie Davis. And so she does a really nice job, and it's not surprising. It's not surprising her track and field results. It's not surprising her volleyball results. I love watching her go to work. Now, when we talk about that block, you watch any Big Ten volleyball match on TV, any high-level volleyball, their opportunities to hit the floor with the ball are very slim, because the block is talented, the floor defense is as fast as it's ever been, and so they come prepared to purposefully swing through high hands of the blockers or push the ball off the outside arm of the pin blocker and those sort of things. And Allie matured through her hitting career where that was really something that she took very seriously. And to the point where, it would do us no good to give her the smaller blocker, right? Because her eyes just wanted to see those hands in front of her and just attack the block. And so not every hitter takes challenges like that, right? Not every hitter wants that challenge. Hitters love to hit against open nets. And the reality is playing against Metro Conference teams and that kind of group of kids, we're not going to see open nets. So Allie does a really nice job of figuring out how to score points when it seems impossible. And so Allie's been doing it for 3 years. As she's grown up in the position, she's got over 500 kills, over 600 digs, so she's been playing six rotations for a long time. And I love Allie's headspace, right? If Allie's playing a match where I feel like we need her to shift gears and just give us one more level of effort, all I got to do is challenge her a little bit and not just off to the side of the huddle and say, hey, I need more audio, or hey, I feel like you could have got to that ball. So if you're starting to wear out, I'm going to bring a kid in and give you a little bit of a break. And as soon as I said something like that, I'll tell you, Allie would find another gear, which is impressive because not every kid is capable of that. So I was really impressed with her maturity, her growth, and her, you know, just aggressiveness as she played the game. Very high risk, high reward, and we were lucky to have her.
And then let's just wrap up on this year's team. You know, five seniors, everybody had their role. We're going to be missing next year a two-year starter at setting, a three-year libero, and our leading hitter. So there's girls ready to come up, but they're going to have to take advantage of the situation and be that kid next year.
Yeah, you know, we when I look at the rest of the list, the kids who, you know, lettered from a varsity perspective, we've got returning starters coming back, Addie Knight on the outside pin, Jaylee Olson in the middle, Kaya Cheddar did some serving specialist roles for us, Reagan Bischoff did some setting for us early in the season, Arian Fitzer was a bright spot as a freshman, so those kids are going to have to grow up into that role, you know, as we transition into next year. And then, of course, the list has to grow because there's got to be kids that aren't on this list that also step into that varsity role and figure out how to be productive on a court that is full of, you know, potential college volleyball players on the other side. And so it'll be really exciting to kind of see how that plays out. It all starts in the off season at the club where we do have Izzy Kramer coming back. I didn't want to forget to mention her. She was injured. She had a shoulder repaired after track this last year, and so she was out. Schley was out this year with injuries to her lower legs. And so we've got some kids out there that missed some chances but might play roles next year. Hard to tell, but we'll see this off season as kids heal and as they get back into the lineup and figure out what that roster looks like next year.
And wrap it up with this, and I'm sure most people know by now, you did announce your resignation as head coach at the end of the potluck on Monday. And, you know, several reasons into it. Bottom line, you just felt, you know, there was something missing and maybe somebody else needed a chance.
Yeah, I think I appreciate you giving me a chance, Jeff, to be honest, to kind of talk through that just for a second. Those kinds of decisions don't come lightly, you know, and I know that most of the community doesn't get to see or hear or read the you know, true meaning behind decisions like this, but giving me a chance to talk through that for a second is important to me, so I appreciate that. Look, these kinds of things bother me, and maybe it's you know, my military background, I don't know. I've read a lot of books about leadership. I've read a lot of books about teams. And you know, I think that the girls deserve an opportunity to be as best as they can be. And I think that's all we want for our kids, our athletes, our children, our students. And look, under my leadership, I'm not sure that the program has progressed in as much of the direction as I wanted to go. I think we're getting there, you know, but I'm a parent too, right? So as I think about my kids, you can't wait forever for good things to happen. And I think that there's some young, talented coaches in our community that probably will be a little bit of a better fit for the girls. Knowledgeable about the game, the energy, the passion, and they'll be able to elevate the program to the level that the girls are capable of achieving. You know, I'm grateful that I had an opportunity to coach here. I think I was just talking to somebody earlier this morning, and it was I think 7 years, two as a sophomore coach, two as a head coach. I'll count the year that I was gone out in Rapid. Because I think there was officially an interim coach in place with Tyann, and then 2 years back, I think that adds up to seven. I'm grateful for that, the trust that the organization placed in me, the relationships I built along the way. But the reality is, I think the girls will be better served, and you know, it would be selfish of me to think that I can just stay in the way. And so, for all the right reasons, I look forward to the transition to the next head coach, whoever the school district decides is the best fit, and helping them get settled in and then getting out of the way so that they can do their job. And so, again, appreciate you letting me talk through that. But that's the start and the end of it.
You're on Tiger Volleyball Coach Josh Lane, capping off a 9-14 season for the Huron Tigers. Again, Coach Lane stepping down from the position earlier this week. That's pending board approval at the next school board meeting coming up on Monday. We're going to talk All-State football next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. Yesterday, the South Dakota Football Coaches Association released the All-State football teams for all seven classes. There were a number of area and Huron Tiger selections on the All-State teams. The Huron Tigers, most that they've had on the All-State team probably in the last 25, 30 years, six selections. Four on the All-State team, two honorable mention. Landon Hull, senior, was All-State running back for the Tigers. Landon with the first 1,000-yard rushing season for the Tigers since Josh Brecker in 2002. Head coach Drew Stranda says that Landon knew coming into the season he would be the workhorse in the backfield, and he went to work.
Landon kind of came in this season with a totally different attitude of, you know, that work hard, show it on Friday nights for everybody in the crowd. And he really kind of went off with the crowd on Friday night. And when they were excited, then it got him going. And you get him started early on in the games, and he'd be able to kind of carry the team through the whole way across the board. And he did a fantastic job at running back. I think he had, you know, over 170 rushes, and having that many rushes and that many yards is just an awesome an accomplishment for not only him but the whole Huron program. And, you know, I thought he was a pretty athletic linebacker for us, even on the offense or on the defensive side of the ball. He had a lot of the tackles for losses. He's a super athletic kid, and even in space he does a great job, and that's kind of where we put him on both sides of the ball.
For the season, Halstead 172 rushes for 1,137 yards, averaging 6.6 yards per carry, and he scored 9 touchdowns on the ground defensively. He had a couple of interceptions, including a pick six. Senior Riley Winiger was selected as an All-State defensive back. Coach Strand said O'Reilly showed his versatility and durability both on offense and defense.
He's one of those two-way players in our senior group that, you know, you don't always hear the name in the news headlines, but he's definitely a big part of our role on offense and defensive pass game, being able to defend the pass and then being able to go run routes all game. And, you know, it's never easy playing cornerback position and chasing guys down after running routes and all of a sudden flipping the field, and now you got to run the routes, whether you're going to block somebody or run down the field 20 yards and hopefully get a pass thrown up to you. But he had a good standout game this season at our homecoming game, and you know, he did a great job and showed a lot, you know, a lot of improvement over the years, and it was a good role for him to fit in and being able to play both ways. And he's always had the Huron team mentality, and he's never been too high or never too low, and never yelled at anybody, and every time he would encourage guys to keep up, and he did a good job of understanding and roles.
Winiger had 50 tackles, 2 interceptions, 6 passes defended on defense. Offensively, 29 catches and 5 touchdowns on the season. Selected at linebacker, senior Oakley Anderson, leading tackler for the Tigers the past 2 years. Coach Strand said Oakley was the captain and basically the coach there on the defensive side of the ball.
The defense, he's really taken that role and taken over the last 2 seasons with us, fitting in that middle linebacker, and he does a lot of film study and understands what we're trying to do, and so couldn't ask for a better guy and a more disciplined guy on what we're trying to do and being able to react to what you see come out of the gate in the first few seconds of the snap and then being able to trust that you're seeing what it's going to be and be able to fly there 100% and make the tackle and make the plays. And, you know, big momentum guy for our defense, definitely going to be a hard guy to replace.
The fourth first-team selection for the Tigers, junior Anderson Porish, repeat selection. He was the All-State punter in AA last year. Coach Strand said Anderson showed his athleticism as he was a wide receiver and safety last year as a sophomore and All-State punter. This year moved into that quarterback slot, and he spent time place-kicking and punting as well.
He's a super athletic kid, and he definitely helped out our offense, you know, kind of being able to run, pass, balance, and even being able to pull the ball and be able to run it on his own. So it gave us a two-way go in the run game-wise, and he fit into that role and kind of took that in. Definitely sees the potential and work ahead of us we have, you know, in his passing game. But I thought, you know, for his first year sitting back there at quarterback and understanding how to make reads in the passing game, he did a fantastic job of trusting, you know, his linemen in front and just, you know, Mr. Utility guy. It's always nice to have a punter, you know, that can flip the field, especially, you know, when you get into situations where you have those three and outs. And, you know, we always talk about how, you know, you got 99 yards to defend on defense, and it's nice when you can use all 99 of those yards and really kind of push them back to make offenses work to get in. So it's really nice to have him back there as a punter as well.
Porish for the season had 1,352 yards passing and 11 touchdowns, plus 538 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. He averaged 38.8 yards per punt. Two Huron Tigers were named to the honorable mention team. Mason Juergens, senior, wide receiver, defensive back, linebacker, even ran the ball more than a couple of times. And Coach Strand said that the versatility in all phases, he also held for extra points and field goals, made Mason a very valuable part of the team.
He's kind of our utility player on both sides of the football, whether it was a slot receiver to a running back to a tight end. He kind of fit those roles and where he lines up as a wing back and on the offensive side of the ball and even on defense then, from lining up as a safety to a linebacker to even sometimes being tighter to the line of scrimmage in some of our looks and almost being a stand-up D end, you know. So definitely going to be hard to replace him, and just a utility guy throughout all phases of our game and even in special teams being a guy out there. And so definitely a player that we like to have, and definitely has a lot of athleticism and ability to, you know, be in different spots. And that's kind of all you can ask from a player, is being ready to learn and know all those situations and the positions that he could. And he was able to learn every single one of them and play any of those positions on any Friday night.
On offense, Juergens led the Tigers with 52 receptions, also scored 5 touchdowns. I believe he had 1 touchdown rushing as well. The other honorable mention selection was senior Charlie Martin, who was also picked to the All-ESD team for O-line and D-line. Coach Strand said that Charlie moved from a tight end fullback position during his sophomore year to help out on the line and then just stayed there. Coach Strand said Charlie was pretty much in charge of that O-line.
Charlie did a fantastic job for us, you know, taking over that role last year and kind of surrounded by a group of underclassmen. You know, I know Nolan stepped in this year with him, but, you know, underclassmen were all around him, and he had to figure out kind of how to guide all those guys and get them under his wing and get them to have the same mental mentality that he had of when you're in the trenches, it's a dogfight every single time, every single play. And, you know, he embodies that, and he brings that every Friday night with your team, and he gives you everything he has. You know, unfortunately, in fall camp, he did dislocate his shoulder, and so he's been playing with that, you know, all season long. And, you know, it didn't matter what it was or what happened, he was going to go in and give it everything he had for his guys. And if somebody had to pick him up off of the field to go off, that was the only way he was coming off the field.
And Martin started at center and defensive end, and by the way, 175-pound lineman in AA. So those are the six selections for the Huron Tigers. There were several area athletes that were named All-State as well. In 11B, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central had three selections, two All-Staters, athlete or all-around Kobe Flowers, senior, was selected to the 11B All-State team at 18 receptions, six touchdowns on the defensive line. Senior Hunter Fenske had 70 tackles, including 31 solo and three sacks. And honorable mention, All-State in 11B, junior Wesley Molnar, who had nine interceptions, including one pick six. DeSmit in 9AA had two selections. Grant Wilkinson, senior, on the offensive line. Honorable mention, senior Slayton Wilkinson, who had 1,300 yards rushing for the Bulldogs, 17 touchdowns rushing, 7 receiving touchdowns. In Class 9A, Wolsey Wessington, Caleb Richmond, was honorable mention All-State. The senior had 23 receptions, 4 touchdowns, as he split his year between quarterback and wide receiver. And Iroquois Lake Preston had two selections in Class 9B. All-State was linebacker Ben Curd, a senior, with 79 tackles, 58 solo. Honorable mention All-State for the Sharks, junior Lucas Pesky, who had 1,412 yards rushing and 15 touchdowns, also caught 16 receiving touchdowns for Iroquois Lake Preston. And again, those are the area selections for All-State football. The teams coming out yesterday selected by the South Dakota Football Coaches Association. We have rodeo in town coming up next week. We'll talk with Jazz McGurr, Mason Moody, about that third annual event at the Dex a week from tonight. That's next on Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk rodeo a week from today. That Saturday, November 29th, will be the third annual Mason Moody Jazz McGurr Invitational at the Dex on the State Fairgrounds. Jazz, a student at South Dakota State, but a Huron Tiger graduate, while Mason is a graduate of Sanborn Central, and before he even graduated high school, he joined the pro rodeo circuit. So both have extensive rodeo background, and they, along with their families, began this event kind of on a whim 2 years ago. They put it together in about 2-3 weeks, but got great turnout both from contestants and from people coming in to watch the event. And well, it just looks like it's going to be a mainstay here for Thanksgiving weekend in Huron, as the third annual event is now coming up a week from tonight. Just a quick note, advanced tickets now available, and you can pick those up at Double D Western Store in Huron. There's also an online site to pick those up. I'm sure you can go to the State Fair website to get some of that information. Doors will open at 5 o'clock on the 29th. Calcutta begins at 6:15, and the main event will begin at 7 o'clock. Everything at the Dex on Saturday, November 29th. We have both Jazz and Mason in studio here, and we're going to talk about this event. Jazz McGurr up first, I believe a 2022 graduate of Huron High School, and again, she's at South Dakota State and a member of the SDSU Club Rodeo Team. Let's go back to the history of this event. Well, it's not that long, that far back to go. It goes back to just 2 years ago. 2023 was the first annual event, and Jazz, I kind of remember going into that or hearing about it first from your dad and then talking to you and Mason right after that. You really put this whole thing together 2 years ago in a short amount of time. It was well received and, well, the response was so good. But, boy, I imagine that was a little scary that first year because you really didn't know where things were going to drop.
Yeah, the first year we did it, we decided, sat down one night and we're like, let's do this. And the only date available was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so we had to get it done in 2 weeks.
And really, I think everything kind of fell together, you know, from getting the contestants there to getting the crowd there. You know, for that short a time, a lot of work was done.
Yeah, we were really, really pleased with the turnout the first year. Like, the community really showed us that we have a lot of support, so.
Well, let's talk about your background. Again, you're a former Huron Tiger. I remember you very well. Mm-hmm. You're now at South Dakota State where you're a member of the club rodeo team. And let's go back to the beginning. How long have you been doing rodeo?
I started rodeoing when I was about 10, probably.
And what got you into that?
My dad took me out to J.C. Hupp's house and put me on a horse and said, this is our life now, kind of. That's kind of how it happened, actually.
And really, you just kind of fall in love with the sport, don't you?
Yeah, it's hard not to love.
And now at SDSU, as I said, your club rodeo, describe how that works. I imagine you do a lot of traveling, and there's kind of two seasons, too, fall and spring, right?
Yeah, we're the first 5 weekends in the fall for the spring. And then spring semester, we're the last 4 weekends. And there's about 10 rodeos total. Because there's a double weekend in there where we go to two rodeos. Basically, you're just competing to go to CNFR.
And what are some of the places you go?
Our closest rodeo is 4 hours away in River Falls, Wisconsin from Brookings. And then our farthest is Dickinson in North Platte, Fort Dodge, Iowa. It's not fun, but the drives aren't fun. But
the competition is, though.
Oh, yeah. I love college rodeo.
And kind of go down that. First off, what events do you compete in?
In college rodeos, I do breakaway and team roping.
And so are you pretty much train year-round on all that?
Oh, yeah. I ride all year round, mostly in the breakaway. Team roping, I usually just do at the college rodeos for fun.
And then as far as, you know, as I said, it's a club at SDSU. Some programs are sanctioned by the NCAA, your club. So is that different? Like, do you compete against actual sanctioned programs as well?
Yeah. SDSU's program isn't sanctioned, but, like, Black Hill State University is sanctioned in our region for sure. So it's really considered a school sport at BH. And then I don't think anybody else in our region is sanctioned.
But you can still compete against Black Hills. That's So, and, you know, and being a club sport, that's a little different too. You do a lot of your own fundraising, that sort of thing. But it sounds like I was talking to your dad the other day, and he said there's a lot, you get a lot of backing though, too, by different SDSU alums.
Oh, yeah. The alumni know, because they went through it, that we kind of make our way own way doing it. Like, we pay for ourselves to do it mostly. We get a little bit of support from the school, but so alumni come and help pay our way.
And and we'll finish up with SDSU with this now. What, your fourth year at SDSU now?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the timeline here moving forward for college Jazz?
I have no idea what I want to do next. I'm supposed to graduate in this coming spring, but I think I'm going to go another year.
And do you have, I assume you have a major declared?
Graphic design.
Okay, so that's kind of the family business if you follow through on that.
Yeah, I
so.
Work for my parents right now as I'm going through school.
So. Oh, okay, so, well, let's talk about the decks on, was that the 29th, I believe. Yeah. Talk about the decks. What are we going to see there from the women's side? I do see J.C. Hupp. One of my favorites is coming back.
Yeah, I actually get 20 breakaway ropers this year instead of 18, which is better for me because I always have girls that want to get in and I have to tell them no. But this year I've almost got a whole different crew of girls coming. Like, JC is consistent. CY is coming back. This year I have Kelly Dunlap up from North Dakota. She just was up at circuit finals or divisional circuit finals and won that. Jenna Fulton's coming up from Texas again. She is probably our most consistent roper coming in. She's leading her region, I think, her in college rodeo. So I have a lot of talent coming this year.
And with that, are you kind of in charge of most of the recruiting for the women's side of that?
For the most part, I reach out to girls to come. If a girl reaches out to me to come, I have a spot, I'll let them in before I fill it out.
So in other words, the interest is there. It's not like you're panicking trying to find people to come in.
No, I've got girls that want to come.
Yeah, and this whole thing kind of came together with the decks. We had the facility. Mm-hmm. Let's put on an event. Is that how it kind of all started?
Yeah, that is exactly how it started, actually.
And then finally here, and we'll turn it over to Mason from here, but let's talk about injuries. Have you had any rodeo-affiliated injuries? I know you had basketball and volleyball once.
I don't think I've had a rodeo-related injury, like, enough to sit me out. Actually.
Okay, so overall, just it's going to be some great rodeo. Is it mainly college athletes that are there, or are there some pros too?
There's some pros too. Okay. They range. I've got a few from everywhere, actually.
Okay, so again, best thing about this is just come on out on that Saturday night, because I think you pretty much had a full house the first 2 years, haven't you?
Yeah, we were overwhelmed with the support we got.
So and then who's on the base of this, the planning stages? I imagine your parents are right there. I know Mason told me when this first started, we kind of went to McGurr's because they know how to run this stuff.
Yeah, my dad's my parents are a big help, that's for sure.
Okay, so again, looking forward to that, and all the others coming in. Should be a fun Saturday night, a week from Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Jazz McGurr. We'll send it over to Mason Moody. We'll get to the injuries here coming up, Mason, because I know you have an extensive list. Mason, you're from Letcher, right?
Yes, sir.
And how old are you?
22 now.
Oh, I was thinking 20 or 21, but I know you turned pro. You were still in high school, right?
Yeah, I think the first year I went to a PBR and got my pro rodeo cards, I would have been 18, and I would have been just ending my junior year in high school, and then pretty much my senior year, my classmates didn't expect me to see me half the time. I mean, pretty much Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd be in school, and then, you know, Friday and Monday, I'd be gone, because I'd been gone rodeoing somewhere that weekend. So.
And I remember you said that first year, too, Sanborn Central School really worked with you to make that happen.
Yeah, it was a big blessing. I kind of knew it was coming, so I took a lot of extra classes my sophomore and junior year, and then my senior year I only had to take a ag class and a history class, so you know that was I kind of helped myself out, but they were pretty tolerant on, you know, okay, if you're up on work, we're not going to bother you too much, and so it worked out.
And start at the beginning, what got you started in rodeo?
Well, my family's not really my parents never really rodeoed, but the Mooney name has a big rodeo legacy with it. And then my sisters, I had three older sisters, and they all grew up rodeoing. So when I was just a little tyke, I was at every high school rodeo, every 4-H rodeo, and just kind of grew up loving it. And so I kind of was raised into a rodeo family, that's for sure. And, you know, blood runs deep sometimes.
And I remember, I think you mentioned this last year, your dad pretty much has a rodeo set up on the farm, so that's where you do most of your training.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to have parents that, you know, support us. And, you know, when I was growing up, we worked with what we had. You know, we built a homemade buck and shoot, and we, you know, we didn't have the greatest setup, but that's, you know, we got what we could do. And, you know, and then when I was about 16, when I blew out my knee in high school, I kind of devoted my life to riding bulls or whatever, and you know, dad and I kind of split the shed that we built on the home grounds, and built a bull riding pen in there, and you know, that's where I spend a lot of my time, is in there.
Well, you mentioned the ACL at 16. You just got started on the pro circuit, and you kind of did something similar too, didn't you?
I think last year I blew out my knee, the same knee in Houston. Had a bull kind of hit me in the femur and pretty much hyperextended my leg about 90 degrees the wrong way, and blew it out again, and decided not to have surgery on it and just keep going with it. And fortunately, it's been hanging in there good right now. So,
well, the way you started that story, it sounded like a George Strait song. I'll say that right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about putting this together. You were on the ground floor of this as well with the McGurr family as well. And, you know, you're from Letcher, Jazz from Huron, so you're right here. And again, I assume the Dex was the big attraction to getting this thing going.
Yeah, the Dex, I mean, when you have a facility like that so close, and both of our families' love for rodeo is deep. Both her dad and my dad are on the high school board, so they both, or high school rodeo board, so they both, you know, kind of line up the high school stuff. So they both had that going for them, you know, they kind of knew how to line up rodeos and stuff like that. And then, you know, to, you know, the community supports Jazz and I both at this deal. So, you know, to have our parents be able to help us line it up and get everything going and then, you know, kind of have our names behind it really just makes for a great evening.
Now, again, like I just asked Jazz, are you kind of in charge of getting the men to sign up for this?
Yeah, this year we added tie-down roping and we kind of added Ty Mosier along with us, so he's doing, you know, getting all the tie down ropers lined up. But yeah, my job's definitely lining up the bull riders.
What events are we gonna see for the men?
Tie down roping and bull riding. Tie down roping's kind of like breakaway roping; they just gotta rope the calf, then get off and tie it, and then of course the bull riding.
So where are you at right? Is this kind of a downtime for you? I know the national finals are coming up.
Yeah, this is kind of the downtime right now. I'll have to leave right after the event to go to Las Vegas. I gotta be there Monday. I've been slow pretty much since September 31st is the end of the regular season for us. So I've kind of been at home getting healthy and getting rested up and tuned up for the finals. So it's kind of been nice to be home, and now it's busy time of the year again. So,
and one last thing for you, and I think this is the same picture you used since the beginning. Jazz has a nice big smile, you not so much. Hey. You're a cowboy, right?
Hey, when you show up to a rodeo, your business. It ain't no party no more.
So, hey, it's going to be great seeing you guys out there. Thanks for stopping in, boy. This just been, you know, I know while it's you like the event for rodeo, it's just a good event for Huron and this area.
Yeah, that's it. You know, when you put on an event, it ain't just about us two putting it on. It's about the community as a whole. You know, it's about all the local. The local businesses that support us, and you know, a lot of these local businesses get, you know, double D, and some of them businesses, they get a lot of revenue off of our event. And you know, so when you get to help the community that helps you, it's definitely something that you can't take for granted.
Mason Moody of Letcher, and along with Jazz McGurr, they're bringing back for a third straight year the Jazz McGurr Mason Moody Invitational at the Dex. That will be a week from tonight, November 29th, with bull riding, breakaway roping, calf roping, and even some mutton busting as well. Again, the schedule, doors open at 5. Come early and catch some junior bull riding. Calcutta is at 6:15. Main event begins at 7 o'clock. Advance tickets are available at Double D Western Store in Huron. They're also available online. VIP tables are available as well. Be the third year for this event. Brings a lot of people to town on Thanksgiving weekend. So again, that's at the Dex a week from tonight. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.